You're listening to The Collected Podcast, bringing you stories that remind us who God is and who we are in Him. The Collected Podcast is a production of Collected Ministries. Follow Collected on social media at Collected Podcast. And be sure to visit thecollectedpodcast.com for show notes and additional content related to today's episode.
The Collected Podcast is sponsored in part by Beauty Counter. Use the link in our show notes to shop for all of your clean beauty needs, and 10% of the profits will go directly back to benefiting the podcast. Also, use the code CLEANFORALL20 for 20% off of your first purchase. Welcome to Season 6, Episode 11 of The Collected Podcast. I'm your host, Jess Biondo, and I am coming to you from sunny Florida this week. I'm on spring break from school and spending some much-needed time with my family down in Jacksonville, and it's just been a wonderfully relaxing, life-giving trip. And I've also had a lot of time with the Lord to really meditate on this message, dig in deeper. And in my last episode, I mentioned I didn't feel like I was quite ready to share what God had been putting on my heart about this next name of God. And so I've just been very thankful for a lot of downtime this week to dig in and not feel rushed. And so this week I am bringing you part 9 of our Names of God series. In this series, we've been highlighting the different names and character attributes of the Lord because we believe here at Collected that understanding who God is and who we are in Him are vital parts of walking in freedom and remaining rooted in who we are created to be. So this week we're learning about Jehovah Emkadesh, the Lord who sanctifies, sets apart, purifies, cleanses, makes holy and sacred. So to sanctify is to be made holy or to be holy. So this episode is airing right after this year's Easter celebration. So if you are listening to it on the Thursday that it comes out, happy belated Easter. Easter was last Sunday. And I can't think of a better time to dig into the significance behind this name of God. After all, Jesus lived a perfectly holy life set apart for divine purpose. And the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is what created a way for us to be seen as holy by a holy God. On our own, we don't measure up. However, simply believing in the death and resurrection of Jesus is not enough to be saved. The Bible tells us that even the demons believe that. You must also believe that His death and resurrection counted for you, that you can never be good enough or holy enough on your own. It is only through the resurrection of Jesus that you're saved. And it doesn't only mean that you'll spend eternity in heaven with Him and with God when we die, but it also means that we can live in freedom while we are still here on earth. So this, you know, life-giving truth isn't just for eternity, it's for the here and now as well. Since I'm in Florida with my parents for Easter this week, I went to their church, Church of 1122, for Easter, and Pastor Joby Martin said it so perfectly. In his Easter message, he explained, since He, Jesus, came out of the grave, so can we. The whole message was about Jesus's final word on the cross, tetelestai, meaning it is finished. And Pastor Joby talked all about how Jesus's work on the cross was finished, meaning He conquered death, He made a way for us to be holy before God, He fulfilled the laws and prophecies of the Old Testament. And what Christ did on the cross was enough to cover anything you could ever do in this life. You are never too far gone. What Jesus did on the cross was enough, period. You can be clean, redeemed, and restored through the work of Jesus, and that is the good news of the gospel. And even if you've heard it 10,000 times, let the power of that truth be fresh in your heart once again. Please don't become numb to the miracle that your salvation truly is and that gift of grace that is life-changing. And if this is your first time hearing this good news, or maybe you've heard it, but it's the first time that it's hitting you in a new way, then you can surrender your life to Jesus right now. All you need to do is say in your mind or out loud, something along the lines of, Jesus, I know I can never measure up on my own. I need you. I believe that you died for me. You took the punishment that I deserved so that I could live in freedom from sin, shame, and fear. Please come into my life and teach me a new way to live. Amen. It doesn't have to be exactly that, but something along those lines of recognizing your need that you cannot save yourself and that what Jesus did on the cross is enough. And he has done it all. He has paid the price once and for all. And because of that, because of his sacrifice, we can have new life in him. So if you prayed something along those lines, or if you aren't quite ready, you have more questions, please reach out to me. I would love to talk more. You can email me, Jess, J-E-S, at collectedministries.org, or reach out through our Instagram page at The Collected Podcast. Just any way you want to get a hold of me, I would love to talk more. So now back to our name of God, of Jehovah M. Kadesh. So we're going to rewind the clock and dive back into the story of the Israelites in the Old Testament. We are in Exodus 31. And as we dig into some Old Testament scripture, I want you to keep Jesus in the back of your mind and see what connections you can draw between God as Jehovah M. Kadesh in the Old Testament and the sanctifying work of Jesus in the New Testament. So the first time we see the name of Jehovah M. Kadesh used in the Bible is in Exodus 31, 12 through 18. So I'm going to read this and then we'll dig a little deeper. Verse 12, then the Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbath. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so that you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. And there it is, Jehovah M. Kadesh, the Lord who makes you holy. Let's continue on though and finish the rest of this section. Observe the Sabbath because it is holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it is to be put to death. Those who do any work on that day must be cut off from their people. For 6 days work is to be done, but the seventh day is the day of Sabbath rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day is to be put to death. The Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for the generations to come as a lasting covenant, a promise. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day, he rested and was refreshed. When the Lord finished speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave him the two tablets of the covenant law, the tablets of stone inscribed by the finger of God. So we see the name of Jehovah M. Kadesh, the Lord who makes you holy, in the first two verses. However, I wanted to keep reading because I thought it was very interesting that God reveals this name to Moses after Moses has already been on the mountaintop on Mount Sinai. We'll come back to Mount Sinai. But he's already been on the mountaintop with the Lord for 40 days. And the final instruction that God gives Moses is about keeping the Sabbath set apart and holy. So after 40 days of receiving 613 laws, the grand finale of all this time is the revelation that only the Lord God, Jehovah M. Kadesh, is the one who can sanctify us and make us holy. The Lord knew it would be impossible for us to uphold our end of the covenant. He knew that there was no way we could possibly uphold all 613 laws in our own strength. I mean, on my best day, I can't even follow the big 10 commandments perfectly, let alone all 613. So from the very moment that sin entered the world, God had a plan for our redemption, for our sanctification. And out of his great love, he was not going to leave the pursuit of holiness in our own hands because he knew all would fall short. Instead, he allowed for the blood of a spotless animal to be shed in our place. And throughout the Old Testament, we see over and over again the use of blood sacrifice to take the place of the people and protect them from the wrath of God and make them right with God when they fall short. In Leviticus 16, God established a yearly Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur, in which the high priest would enter the Holy of Holies once a year, this one day a year, and make a sacrifice to atone for the sins of the priests and the people over the past year. And I'm greatly oversimplifying this practice for the sake of time. But if you want to learn more about the Day of Atonement, I am linking some great resources onto the blog and in the show notes. So you can check those out. Because it, I mean, there's such great stuff in there too. But we got to keep moving. So when Jesus took his last breath on the cross, the curtain to the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle was ripped in half. So this is this curtain that divided the people, the unholy people, from the presence of a holy God. Yet when Jesus took his last breath, that massive curtain was ripped in two, signifying that all people could now have free access to the presence of God. The final and ultimate sacrifice had been paid. Jesus atoned for the sins of humanity, past, present, and future. And that is just, I mean, it's mind-blowing. It's incredible. And we talked about it at the top of the show. But like I hinted, this theme of Jesus being our final atonement is kind of woven throughout. So in this passage from Exodus 31, there's a lot of talk about Sabbath. So let's dig into this, because multiple times in the passage, we see that the penalty for not keeping the Sabbath is death. So this is something that is extremely important to the heart of the Father. So extreme that if you don't follow the Sabbath law, you'd be put to death. Which again, yeah, seems very extreme, but it signifies the importance of this. And when something is important to the heart of God, it needs to be important to us as well. There's a reason. It's for our good. It's not just him trying to boss us around. There's something deeper going on here. So while this is the first time in the Bible, in Exodus 31, that we see the name of Jehovah and Kadesh, it's not the first time by any means that the issue of holiness has come up. So the first time that holy is mentioned is in Genesis 2:3. So in the very beginning, before the fall, when we're still in this perfect communion with God and all of creation was as God intended. And we see in this situation, God declare something holy for the very first time. So Genesis 2 reads, "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work that he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done." So God set the seventh day apart. It was to be treated differently than all the other days. So the first thing we see as holy is this seventh day. Now in Exodus 31, God is once again instructing his people to honor the Sabbath and keep it set apart as holy. And I think there are a few reasons why the Sabbath is so vital for Israelites and for us still today. So first, I think it keeps us rooted in our identity. And second, it creates a natural rhythm of rest and refocus. So I want to take a couple minutes and break down each of these bullet points. So first, it keeps us rooted in our identity. In her book, Lord, I Want to Know You, Kay Arthur explains, "The constant observance of the Sabbath week in and week out was to remind the children of Israel that they were a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people set apart for God's own possession." And there she's quoting 1 Peter 2:9. And it's so easy for the Israelites, over and over we see it in the Old Testament, to forget who they were called to be and who they belonged to. They were constantly straying and worshiping idols and trying to fit in with other nations and you know, fit in with the culture and the world around them. In the very next chapter in Exodus, in chapter 32, we see that the people had grown weary of waiting for Moses to return. So Moses is up on the mountaintop for 40 days, and you know, it's like day 39, and they grow weary, and they take matters into their own hands and build a golden calf to worship. I mean, have you ever grown weary of waiting and taking things into your own hands? Does that sound familiar? Because I know I sure have many, many times. And this spiritual fight over identity was just as intense for the Israelites in the ancient Near East as it is for us today. This constant battle of what voices we will listen to. And we must let the truth of God's word inform our identity, not the world, not modern culture, not politics, not social media, not these passing fads, but the word of God, which has stood the test of time and which is unchanging from generation to generation. So that was point number one. This practice of Sabbath keeps us rooted in our identity. And next, I think it creates a natural rhythm of rest and refocus, which also allows us to remain rooted in our identity. So point two points back to point one. But I think there's also such beauty and grace in the instruction to honor the Sabbath and keep it set apart. In knowing that we can never be holy on our own, God built in one day each week to pause, rest, and remember who He is. So Sabbath gives us time to refocus and remember who we are, but also remember who He is. This is a whole day devoted to resting in the peace and presence of God, a whole day to stop working and striving and just be. If our holy, sovereign, almighty God did this on the seventh day of creation, then how much more do our souls need this to be refreshed and revived? Your Creator knew that the deepest longings of your soul could only be fulfilled through time resting in His presence. So how good of Him to build it into the natural rhythm of life for His people. We're no longer under the strict laws for observing the Sabbath. You know, Jesus conquering death also freed us from the burden of these laws. Now we live in freedom from Him because of His sacrifice. However, I think these principles still ring true today. There's still great benefit for us in practicing Sabbath. Your soul will quickly grow weary if you're not taking time to stay connected to the One who is your hope, peace, protector, provider, source of victory, your sanctifier, all these names of God that we've been studying, we must stay connected to them and remember them. They're a source of strength in our identity. We must stay connected to the Father because while Christ's work on the cross is finished, His work within us is not finished. As believers, our sanctification starts at salvation. So we are viewed as holy, but it will finally be made complete at glorification. So our time on this earth, we are holy. Our salvation is set in stone, and yet we're still imperfect. We still mess up. And that doesn't make us lose our salvation, but we're still continually learning what it means to live like Christ and follow Christ. And the completion of the full sanctification will be when we see Him face to face in heaven, which I'm just excited for that day. So I want to transition now to Mount Sinai, which was mentioned in our passage from Exodus 31, because no lesson of mine would be complete without a look at geography. So Mount Sinai, historians believe that Mount Sinai is also known as Mount Horeb, which has many significant moments in the Old Testament. The Old Testament mentions both of these mountains in lots and lots of places. So in our passage today from Exodus 31, we see Moses receiving the laws and meeting with God on Mount Sinai. This is also the spot where earlier in Exodus 3, God first revealed Himself to Moses in the burning bush. So both of those huge points in Moses' life happened in this same spot. Then, later in 1 Kings 19, this is also the place where the Lord speaks to the prophet Elijah in a gentle whisper. That story where, you know, God comes, or, you know, there's the loud wind and God is not in the wind, and there's the earthquake and God is not in the earthquake, but God is in the gentle whisper and He speaks to Elijah in his moment of despair. So it is a place where God revealed Himself to His people and communicated it to them in very powerful ways, very significant ways. And so as I was digging into this a little more, I came to see some incredible parallels between Moses and the burning bush in Exodus 3 and Elijah and the gentle whisper in 1 Kings 19. Moses and Elijah were both running from someone trying to kill them. They had both fled to the wilderness in fear of their lives, and they both ended up having a divine encounter with the Lord, in which the Lord told them to go back to the place from which they had been running. God was not done with them. In fact, he still had more in store for them than they could have ever imagined. So now, taking it back to Jesus, fast forward to the New Testament, and in Matthew 16, 21, we see that Jesus starts to predict his death. So he's starting to, not even foreshadow, he's like straight up telling his disciples what is going to happen. And so I have to imagine that the weight of his purpose, the reality, is starting to settle heavy on his heart as he speaks it out more, and the time is drawing closer and closer to when it's actually going to happen. And it's around this same time that Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up to a high mountaintop to be alone. And we read in Matthew 17, and then again in Luke 9, that while on this mountaintop, Moses and Elijah appear to Jesus. So the two men who had faced imminent death fled to a mountaintop, received a direct revelation from God, were told to go back and finish the work God had begun in them. And then these two men were ultimately used for the saving of many lives and the changing of history. They are the two that appear to Jesus in this moment where he needed to get away and refocus and have, in essence, like a Sabbath of time away, praying and communing with the Father. He meets with Moses and Elijah. They appear to him. And all of that I just read about Moses and Elijah, about, you know, they're facing death. They flee to the mountaintop. They get a revelation from God. They're told to go back and finish the work, and they're used for the saving of many lives and the changing of history. How much more was this the story of Jesus? Jesus was facing imminent death, and his next step was to go back down the mountain and finish the work that the Father had set in motion from the very moment that humanity first sinned. And he was to be used for the saving of countless lives, the eternal saving, and the changing of the entire course of human history. Moses and Elijah escaped death from the people they were running from, but Jesus faced it head on. And in doing so, he conquered death once and for all. And I just think it's so cool of the Lord to send Moses and Elijah to meet with Jesus. Like, who better to meet with him and to understand what he's going through on at least a small level? I don't know. Like, when I see this, it's just so, like, the Lord is so good and gracious to provide exactly what we need when we need it. And he did the same for his son. You know, and Jesus is going to continue to wrestle with the task placed upon him. Later in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prays, you know, Lord, if there's another way, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. He still went and he fulfilled all the prophecies and he overcame the law and he gives us freedom. And he went and he died and he was resurrected, all for us. I mean, that's the whole point of the name of Jehovah Mkadesh, is that he makes us holy, and in his plan for making us holy started the very moment we sinned. And we see it woven throughout the entire Old Testament until the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, which is the ultimate fulfillment of everything that God was working toward so that we could be saved. And so that we could have a relationship with the holy God of the universe. Praise the Lord. I mean, that's amazing. So as we wrap up today, I want to leave you with a few verses to remind you of the hope we have in Christ and that you are holy and dearly loved. So first, we have three verses we're going to wrap with today. The first is Hebrews 10, 10 through 14, which reminds us that we are sanctified by the death of Jesus. He was the ultimate sacrifice once and for all. The verses read, "By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And every priest stands daily ministering and offering time and time the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But he, having offered once for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting for that time onward until his enemies will be made a footstool for his feet. For by one offering, he has perfected for all time those who were sanctified. That's good. The next one is John 17:15-19, which tells us that we are made holy by the truth of the word of God. It says, "My prayer is not that you take them out of this world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of this world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified." And finally, I want 1 Thessalonians 5:23 to be my closing prayer over you. "Now may the peace of God himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen." That is what I have for you today. I hope something in this spurred you on to want to get to know Jesus more and to rest in the love and peace of our Heavenly Father, and just find joy and hope in knowing the immense sacrifice that Jesus gave for you. I mean, his life, but also, like, there was always a plan that from the moment humans sinned, God had a plan in place for our sanctification, for our redemption. And I think sometimes it's so easy to feel like God is absent, or we don't hear from him, or, you know, we don't feel like we're moving forward. We feel stuck. But let the entire story of the Old Testament remind you that God is always at work behind the scenes. Even in the book where his name is not mentioned, his fingerprints are all over it. Every single story of the Old Testament was him getting us one step closer to the fulfillment of the plan of Jesus. And so in our lives today, he's doing the same thing. He's continually working behind the scenes. And even if you don't see his name in your story at the moment, his fingerprints are all over it. He never stops working for his glory and for the good of his kingdom and for our good. So just rest in that today. I hope you have a wonderful week, and I will see you next time on the Collected Podcast. Bye.
Thank you for listening to The Collected Podcast. Please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. And if you like what you've heard, we'd love it if you'd help spread the word. Check back here for new episodes dropping every other Thursday. You can follow along on social media at Collected Ministries.